Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our first T3 forum. T3 stands for Transportation Technology and Trends. My name is Dave Montebello. I'm the president and CEO of SRF Consulting Group, and I'm excited to welcome you here today to our first T3 forum. I encourage everybody to actively participate and participate in the coming forums over the next year or so. The first T3 forum here was the brainchild of Brian Scott, one of our VPs in the Minnesota GuideStar board. Brian has been involved in transportation technology and the GuideStar board for many years. Unfortunately, Brian can't be here today as he's out on medical leave. But we do have Eric Mingy here, another V principal here at our firm who's been actively involved in technology here at SRF, and Mike Marty, who has been involved with the Local Road Research Board for many, many years. In a recent tour of the state with the Local Road Research Board, Mike has heard from many local agencies, regional agencies, and others on the CAV issue. And I think it's important here as we, this forum, which is focused on CAV, to help answer many of the questions that are circulating out there. And some of the things that you know, they've heard and I've heard is, how fast might this change occur? Does this mean more or less vehicles on the roadway? What should I be planning for as an agency? Does this mean more or less infrastructure? What about the lane widths or capacity? We hear about parking issues and revenue collection and charging issues in terms of electrification. So there's lots of questions that are circulating out there, and that's affecting our industry. And so how do we respond to these? How do we remain competitive and keep Minnesota competitive? How do we make sure that technology works for us and doesn't cause more issues as we integrate that? These are the types of things that hope to tackle over the coming months. So this forum is really, goal of it is to share knowledge and information, to educate, and provide an opportunity for asking questions and providing discussion. It's a forum where we can learn from one another. I recently participated in the Minnesota's first CAV workshop here, held last month, and it was a very good workshop in that we got a glimpse of what's going on around the state, what's going on around the nation, as well as what's going on around the world. And a couple of just takeaways that I saw coming out of the workshop was that technology platforms are far ahead of what I think where policy and the regulatory framework is. And so while there's a lot of money being poured into the technology side and that's advancing, I think people are unsure about how that technology is going to play out in the integration part. Safety is one of the key potential benefits, and Minnesota's had a long history here of pushing towards zero death, and I think there's some real benefit here that the technology could continue to drive down fatalities here in the state and around the nation. I did hear throughout the conference that there could be a wide range of impacts. We heard that there could be a lot less VMT being traveled, and in other cases we heard that there could be a lot more VMT, as much as 50% more VMT traveling on the system. And so this, I think, all depends upon how the framework and policies are set up and how we have the technology working for us rather than allowing it to just come in and let others make the decisions. So today's the inaugural forum, and we'll have some presentations here from FHWA and MnDOT, and we'll hopefully have some time here for some questions and answers. To ask questions, we want you to use the Skype chat feature, and please do not submit questions if you're driving in the name of safety. So with that, I'm going to turn it over here to Eric Mingy, who's going to introduce our first speaker. And once again, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in coming forum.
Great. Thank you, Dave. I'm going to run through the four speakers we have lined up here today. We're going to kind of run through and hear a little bit from each one of them. The first will be Jim McCarthy, and I'll introduce all the bios now to kind of get that part out of the way. Jim is with the Federal Highway Administration, and he works on ITS deployments in Minnesota, such as managed lane projects and connected vehicle operational tests. Jim has a bachelor's and master's degree in civil engineering from the University of Minnesota, and he is active on the board of ITS Minnesota, NCITE, and Minnesota GuideStar. Following Jim's remarks, we'll hear from Jay Hippus. Jay is director of MnDOT's new Office of Connected and Automated Vehicles, the CAVX office. In this role, Jay leads the statewide policy research and deployment of CAV technology. Jay has 22 years experience in transportation and holds bachelor and master's degrees in civil engineering from the University of Minnesota. Same as Jim. Our third speaker will be Kristen White, also with MnDOT. She's MnDOT's new CAV Innovation Director. In this role, she manages policy, strategic planning, research, and deployment of CAV technologies. Kristen is an attorney with a decade of experience advising federal, state, and local agencies on public policy. And we have a fourth speaker, Jim Barbaresso, with HNTB. Jim has more than 39 years of experience in transportation planning, operations, and ITS in both the public and private sectors. Jim leads the HNTB ITS practice and provides expertise throughout the country on CAV initiatives. And lastly, Jim has also given a TED Talk on the impacts of connected automation. So I'll hand it over to Jim McCarthy to start things off. And reminder, if you do have questions, please submit them through the chat function, and we can take those as we go and answer them at the end of the forum. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And thanks for this opportunity to talk about the Federal Highways National Dialogue on Highway Automation. This is an activity that we decided to take on this year to better align the connected vehicle program with all the changes that are happening. We had been working on a strategic plan, and we're near the end of that. And it was time to set new direction. And so John Corbin in our headquarters office took on this activity, began at ITS America, and will continue through the summer and into the fall of reaching out to our stakeholders in setting the direction for the connected vehicle program. At the bottom of the screen, you see a link to the website for the dialogue, and I encourage you to visit that and learn more about it. The national dialogue will engage an expanded set of stakeholders to ensure that the connected vehicle issues receive broad input. Stakeholders include original equipment manufacturers, Ford, GM, all the regular players in building vehicles, technology suppliers, transportation network companies, state and local agencies, and public sector partners. At the forums, and we had the first one, I was part of that, the forum starts out with Federal Highway sharing their perspective on what's going on with automated vehicles and from our regulatory and research activities. And then through the workshops, we listen and engage with the people that are participating. We had 150 at ITS America. We have discussion groups. We have asked questions, and it goes on for about 6 hours. And the first one is very productive. And the intent of that is to, again, to for us to evolve our programs and better align with where the industry is going. It's changing very fast. And so I encourage you to join and participate if you can. I believe there's four more of these workshops going on this summer. There's one, I think, in 2 weeks out in Seattle, and there's one in Chicago later in the summer. So I encourage you to participate. As findings come in, I will bring them back to this group and share them. I hope by the next meeting we can have a presentation from the first couple meetings, and I look forward to sharing that with you. So I encourage you to participate and to follow along, because I think this is really going to be important for us the next couple years on where we go. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We're going to shift up.
All right. This is Jay Hippus from the CAVX office. I'm joined by Kristen White. I want to thank SRF for hosting this today. This is one of our goals through the Minnesota GuideStar Board of Directors, and I think this is going to be a great way to communicate information out starting today and into the future. We're going to give a quick update on a few different things, talk a little bit about our CAVX office, give you a quick update on what's happening with Governor Dayton's executive order on connected and automated vehicles. Kristen's going to talk about the MnDOT strategic plan that we're working on, talk about some hot topics, and then some national trends. For those of you that are online, you can see kind of the structure of the CAVX office. This is connected and automated vehicles, but the X is kind of for a couple of different things. So we're not only about connected and automated vehicles, we're also about ITS and other functions of innovation. And X also represents all the kind of unknowns that occur with this advancing technology. So not only are we dealing with connected and automated vehicles, but also electrification of vehicles, mobility as a shared service, talking about some of those parking impacts that were talked about earlier. So it's kind of all those unknowns that we're trying to get our arms around this mammoth changes in mobility and the revolution for transportation. This kind of just shows an org chart of our office. We are kind of a spinoff of the traffic office. So we think we have a great balance of engineering, planning, and legal. So I'm the, as I said before, our CAV Innovation Director, and she brings her great legal experience. We also have Praveena Pittaparthi, who is a planner, so helping us on the planning aspects. And then we also took ITS, Research and Development. So Corey Johnson and this group of Rashmi Brewer, Dan Rowe, and Mike Kronzer, and they're really the implementers who are going to be implementing the technology out in the field. This is just a little bit of our mission for CAVX, and really we're about improving the quality of life. How can we harness this technology, not only CAV technology, but other technology, and really move Minnesota forward? I'm going to talk a little bit about Governor Dayton's executive order. He signed this executive order back in March, which does three primary things. The executive order basically does three things, right? It requires that we consult with governments, stakeholders, and a lot of representatives from the automobile and tech industry to figure out where this technology is going and how Minnesota can actually use this technology in the future. We have a report that's due to the governor and legislature by December 1st. And the report requires us to cover a broad variety of topics, which I'll talk about in the next slide. And a key component of this, too, is also develop testing and deployment of CAV. So not only are we only studying this, but the governor has directed us to actually start deploying and testing this technology on our roadways. The advisory council really wants to focus on a few key areas. They really want to focus on how can we advance this for Minnesota business and residents, and how can we brand Minnesota to move this forward. Equity and mobility are major concerns. And public engagement. A big thing we're seeing around the country is the public is really not sure about the automated vehicle technology. So how can we provide more opportunities for the public to understand, see, feel, and touch these vehicles and get a comfort level? There's a lot of activities happening right now. As mentioned earlier, the University of Minnesota just held a visioning session about 2 weeks ago. This is kind of the kickoff for the advisory council in terms of what's the statewide vision and what do we want to do with this technology to help us with our quality of life. They're going to see a lot of things coming out of this in the next probably month or so with their final report. They're kind of assembling all the information right now. What you're going to see is kind of a big vision for Minnesota. You're also going to see a lot of different strategies, and this is really going to help drive us where we're going to focus our attention. But there's four key areas. One is on people and mobility. One is on freight. One is on traffic operations and safety. And then planning, environment, and economic development is kind of the fourth main area. So this is really going to guide us where we kind of move forward. We're also doing an extensive stakeholder engagement process through the Governor's Advisory Council and the executive order. We are basically told to look at the impacts to Minnesota in eight key areas. That includes infrastructure, cybersecurity, vehicle registration, licensing and training, insurance and liability, traffic regulations, economic opportunities and the impacts to our workforce, accessibility and equity, and planning and land use. And that's a lot of different areas that we have to cover in a small period of time. So we are looking at doing these stakeholder engagement pieces. And if you're interested in being as part of one of these stakeholder groups, you can contact us, go to our webpage. There's more information about what these groups are, what they're going to be accomplishing. And there's a link to email me and say, yes, I'd like to participate on these groups. The groups are going to be basically meeting probably 2 to 3 times and just kind of gathering what the concerns are and maybe some strategies on how to kind of move these things forward in Minnesota. Now, ideally, these will go, let's say, back to recommendations to the governor on changes in statutes, changes in rules, and changes in policy. So it's kind of that kickoff to really get Minnesota going. We're also going to be doing a public survey. So if you can't participate in the groups and the meetings, you can actually go online and do a public survey. We'll have some opportunities at the state fair for the public to give some input. And Kristen's working on something really important right now is position papers. We get a lot of questions from the industry about what we can and can't do in Minnesota right now. And until we start changing our laws to accommodate this technology, we need to be able to tell them what the rules are right now. So Kristen's working on what we can actually legally do right now for truck platooning in Minnesota and what we can actually do right now for testing automated vehicles on public roadways. I'm going to turn it over to talk about an update on MnDOT's strategic plan.
Thanks, everyone, and again to SRF for convening and for all our members that are on the call this morning. I'm sorry you're going to have a lawyer talk about technology for a little bit, but please humor me, and I look forward to having you join our conversation. So as Jane mentioned, and as Jim highlighted, at the federal level, they've been doing some strategic planning related to connected and automated vehicles. And so MnDOT has decided to undergo a similar effort to frame, as Jay said, the vision for Minnesota, in particular the DOT. So what we've been doing is most recently we have hired a WSP to help us kick off this effort, which began in May. The strategic plan for MnDOT is expected to be concluded in early summer of 2019. And to date, I can share with you that of the first task that we've undertaken, which is to survey over 260 agencies, MPOs, and local entities in the state of Minnesota, a vast majority of them, we found out just recently, are either contemplating what connected and automation and vehicles means to their infrastructure and organizations. Very few are actually undergoing any sort of pilot projects, but many of them are asking questions as to how we can all partner together to understand how we can move this vision forward in a collaborative way. So as you see on the slide, I will not iterate that for you, but in typical long strategic planning efforts, we're developing both a short and long-term vision. So as many of you are familiar, MnDOT has a wide family of plans, and so we are determining how to create the connected and automated vehicle plan and whether that should be incorporated into our large family of plans. In that strategic plan, we have 10 different tasks, including a gap analysis, determining what is missing in Minnesota to address these very urgent needs, and also where we are positioned both regionally and nationally. We're also undergoing some significant outreach. I talked about that a little bit with the MPO efforts, but that also includes the CTS visioning workshop and reaching out to some of the larger cities in the metropolitan area like Minneapolis, St. Paul, and our county partners like Hennepin County and Ramsey County to determine how we can have a metropolitan collaborative effort. This also includes scenario planning. Jim has mentioned to us in several occasions that the Federal Highway Administration has developed a wide range of potential scenarios and how levels 1 through 5 will be deployed in the next 20 to 40 years. And so we are incorporating 6 of those scenarios with our planning department and reaching out to stakeholders this fall in the state of Minnesota to determine how MnDOT and our partners would react if, for example, we move wholly to a shared fleet idea concept. Or alternatively, what would we do if we have a mixed fleet for the next 20 years where we have historic cars on our roadsides adjacent to level 4 vehicles? We are undergoing, like I said, those efforts this fall, and we'll have more information for you probably in the next few meetings at T3. Another couple highlights for the strategic effort include our branding exercise. Jay highlighted this, and Jim, and thanks Dave, for highlighting the fact that Minnesota really can be a leader here. We do not need to recreate what other states are doing, but what we're trying to do is brand Minnesota as open for business to innovation and technology development. So we are beginning to work with a consultant on that. We look forward to sharing some of those highlights and draft ideas with you at the next conversation. And in addition, the last effort that MnDOT is doing internally is reaching out to our districts and our specialty offices to ask how connected and automated vehicles can impact our operations, staffing, long-term planning, program delivery, fiscal resourcing, and communications, amongst a few other various programmatic and business operations that we conduct on a daily basis to make sure we're thinking about 50 years ahead. So some really exciting things Jay and I are working on, I want to highlight in this hot topic. So if we can move on to our connected corridor slide, a lot of you have heard about this. We have 5 projects that we look for on, the first of which is our connected corridor SPAT, signal phasing and timing challenge. This is along Trunk Highway 55 and that 394-494 corridor. We are just starting those efforts now, and over the next year we will be installing approximately 22 signals that share the BSN, the basic safety messaging, and other signal phasing and timing. The second priority for these projects includes work zone signaling and whether or not we have the capability of using DSM or other sorts of messaging technology to alert drivers when a potential work zone is in the area. Third, we're going to be looking at snowplow priority. As we know, agencies like ours, including the counties, have large fleets. How do we somehow use this and harness this technology, as Jay said, to ensure that we have safety during our snowplow operations? Fourth, we're looking into whether we can work with the Metropolitan Council to develop pedestrian warning signs, whether that's at crosswalks and busy metro areas or elsewhere. And finally, and most importantly to us, is big data. How do we share data? Who owns the data? And how do we utilize it to understand the safety impacts of this technology? These are some of the key questions we are all asking, and part of this project is to develop a portal to start sharing information for research. As many of you hopefully were aware and able to participate in, and I want to thank our partners, especially I think John's on the line from Hennepin County. We finished our automated shuttle pilot, and it was very successful. As you see on the slide, over 3,000 participants were able to interact, ride, or see the automation in first person. We had some accessibility communities. We had the Minnesota Federation of the Blind attend with us and use the technology to show the future of mobility with automation. We also, as you see in the image on the right, were able to demonstrate cold weather testing in Minnesota. We know we are one of the few jurisdictions that is not only doing pilot projects for automation, but also has the benefit of our long Minnesota winter. And so we need to harness that capability to ensure we're working with the industry to test that technology. Just so everyone is aware, the shuttle is actually no longer in Minnesota. It's been shipped over to Colorado, but there might be opportunities in the future for similar demonstration projects. So these are some exciting initiatives that we want to share with you all today. The first bullet we are actually rebranding as the Minnesota Connected and Automated Vehicles Challenge, the Minnesota CAB Challenge. Well, for those of you that did attend GuideStar at the last meeting, we shared this idea that we want to have an open and rolling solicitation of ideas connected to ITS and CAB activity to determine how MnDOT can partner with folks with some really innovative ideas. And this is something that you will be seeing in the next month. We are working internally in the state of Minnesota Enterprise System to determine how this procurement method could be initiated, but we're very hopeful that we'll see something shortly. Two, many of you are aware of the ITS master contract. We are making some small revisions to that, and that will be released soon to include some updates to allow for us to work on connected and automated vehicles policy. As Dave mentioned, that's a key area where we are lagging behind in the state, regional, and national efforts, so that's why that contract is being updated. Next, we're really, really prioritizing research, development, and that last word, deployment. We know that this group has done some fantastic research, as have our university partners, but our office priority is really ensuring that this research can be deployable and then branded within Minnesota to show that we are using and harnessing this technology. And finally, what we're hearing from the industry in the various conversations we've been holding nationwide, in including, as Jim noted, the first Philadelphia workshop for policy and planning for highway automation. The industry is telling us we need a clearinghouse. Each state needs to have a public website where we are identifying our testing locations and our program priorities. So Jay and I are making that a huge initiative right now to update our website. If you've been to it before, again, it's just the Minnesota CAV website. That will be changed a little bit so that the industry can more clearly see what we are all doing together. If you have things you want on our website, please contact me.
Wrap up, we want to just kind of share a few things happening on the national level. There's so much occurring. Kristen and I just came back from a conference, the symposium in San Francisco, and I think we each have about 15 pages of notes covering about 15 to 20 different areas. But some of the things that maybe have interest to this group is people talk about our infrastructure, in particular pavement markings. The National Uniform Committee on Traffic Control Devices has a CAV task force, and they're probably going to be one of the first groups that actually put something down on paper, which are hard recommendations for infrastructure. So we anticipate something coming out at their next meeting, which will be at the TRV in January. But this is really going to say, here's what we should do for our pavement marking. So we're excited to see those recommendations from that committee. This has already been talked about earlier as a national dialogue. The ones that will be occurring are freight coming up in Chicago. Infrastructure will be one coming up. I believe in Austin, Texas in November. Operations, it will be done as part of the National Rural Intersection ITS Conference in Phoenix in October. And then cybersecurity and data is August 1st and 2nd in Seattle. So Jim promoted these earlier. We think they're fantastic. The great part about this is there's very few states that are actually participating in the first one. So it's a great opportunity for Minnesota and Minnesota companies to provide their input at a national level. A few other things that we kind of have found interesting is there's a lot of talk about level 5 vehicles, but we're hearing a lot from the manufacturers that level 5 vehicles are way, way, way out in the future. No timelines from them at all. So I think for Minnesota, we want to take what's called maybe a practical approach to CAV, where, yes, let's talk about level 5 and the impacts of level 5s and plan for those in the future. There's a lot of things that we can start doing today to accommodate level 2s, 3s, and 4s that are probably more rapidly approaching our roadways, and also to account for truck platooning and some of those other items. So we really want to help prepare things that can actually work today to save lives and increase mobility. Those are just a few things that are occurring kind of on the national level. We want to thank everybody for their time today.
Great. I appreciate hearing from MnDOT on those remarks. And we're going to shift now to HNTB. Jim Barbaresso, if you could share some of your thoughts about a perspective from ITS America. Go ahead, take it away.
Hey, thank you. I want to thank SRF for hosting this forum. And what I'm really going to do is give a brief update on some of the exciting things happening in the industry and around CAV and also shared mobility and electrification of vehicles. On the connected vehicle front, and many of you have probably heard that Toyota is going to provide V2V across the entire spectrum of their models beginning in 2021, and that they're committed to dedicated short-range communications as the technology for V2V. And this was intended to incentivize other automakers also to go that direction. And so this is something that's kind of exciting, especially for those state agencies and local agencies that have been deploying DSRC infrastructure to support things like Dispatch Challenge and safety initiatives and Vision Zero. So that's coming, and it's an exciting announcement that Toyota made. And GM at the ITS America annual meeting in Detroit also announced that they would be expanding their vehicle-to-vehicle offering to more models in 2023. But when they were questioned as to whether or not that would be DSRC or some other technology, they were silent on that because, as many of you probably recognize, there's been significant momentum toward cellular V2X technology. In fact, there's a collaboration taking place and a pilot project in Colorado for CV2X between Panasonic, AT&T, Qualcomm, and Ford. And the thing about this is that, you know, there's an impression that because of the ubiquitous nature of cellular technology and infrastructure, that there's an opportunity to leverage that and deploy V2V and V2X much more quickly. But then on the other side of the coin is the need for a model, a good model that will maintain the federal and state and local priorities for safety and in a more of a private sector business model for V2X. So those are things that there's a push-pull and it's still a kind of an uncertain environment going forward. So we're going to be tracking that very closely. Now, on the automated vehicle front, this is such a dynamic environment. And at ITS America this year, GM announced also that they're going to be offering their Super Cruise technology across the entire Cadillac platform in 2020, plus one of their major SUV platforms during that same time frame. So this is a big move by GM. I don't know, Jay, if you were got out and about in San Francisco last week, but I came across a couple of GM fully automated Bolts running around the town with the cruise automation technology in it. So it was kind of exciting to see actually these vehicles operating in a dense urban environment like that. And it was, they were running around the Hilton where the AVS symposium took place. A couple other things that are happening, and there was an announcement just recently about an AV shuttle operating in downtown Detroit, May Mobility, as a sub to Quicken Loans, has now started operations in downtown Detroit to support movement of Quicken Loans employees to their headquarters in Detroit. So that's kind of exciting. One of the first actual operational deployments of shuttles in the United States in an urban environment on public streets. And then recently, just in the past couple of weeks, you might have seen RFPs come out actually for Columbus, Ohio, and from the Ohio DOT, and then also San Francisco Metropolitan Transportation Agency for Treasure Island. So a couple of other operational programs that will likely come out here very soon. And then just to update everybody on where we stand nationally, because there, of course the movement is to have some significant and consistent legislation or regulation across state lines. And so if you look at the map and on this particular slide, you see that 32 states now have AV legislation or executive orders in place. And so this is really kind of exciting too, that what we now need to work on is make sure that those gap analyses are taking place and that there's some consistency across state lines so that we have consistent regulations and enforcement with regard to AVs across our borders. And then when we talk about emerging mobility, and what I mean by this is shared mobility, but also electrification. If you've been watching the news, you probably saw that Volkswagen just launched their WE electric vehicle sharing program, which is a significant program that they're going to be undertaking. And it includes not only electric golf vehicles, but also micro mobility vehicles, so electric scooters and bikes and such. So it's very exciting to see this happening. And of course, on the heels of the fuel economy problems that the industry has faced recently. Another thing that happened, Ford made a major announcement a couple weeks ago where they actually purchased an abandoned Detroit landmark, the old Central Rail Station in Detroit, which is an iconic structure, quite lovely inside actually, except for the graffiti. But nonetheless, it is going to be their headquarters for their smart mobility initiatives. And so this is a big move by Ford into this marketplace. And of course, they've been there for quite some time. But with this move, they're claiming a big stake, not only in the mobility market, but also to take their initiative in Detroit to a higher level. And then also last week, you may have seen an announcement that Mobility as a Service America was launched. And this is on the heels of Maas Finland and Maas European Union being launched last year and earlier this year. So this is interesting because mobility as a service hasn't really caught on as much in the U.S. as it has in Europe. So this is something to keep your eye on. It's an association, and it could potentially grow to incorporate many of the new mobility players throughout the country. And then finally, I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of a couple of things coming up in the near future, one of which is the ITS America Forum on Cybersecurity Risk and the Future of Mobility. It'll take place in Colorado August 31st through or July 31st through August 1st. If you want more information, you can go to the ITS America website to get that. And of course, don't forget about the ITS World Congress. It'll be held in Copenhagen this September, which will offer a glimpse at some of the smart city initiatives taking place, plus some of the MAS type initiatives that are also taking place in Europe. So next slide is just a closing, but I want to thank you again, SRF, for hosting this forum and look forward to questions.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your providing some insights there. So I do have a few questions that have been submitted. I'm going to go ahead and run through those. And it looks like they're mostly destined for MnDOT. So Jay and Kristen, if you want to get ready to chime in here, that'd be great. We are at the 45-minute mark for the forum. So we thought we would take a little bit of extra time and run through some of the Q&A that we do have. And if folks can hang on for that piece, that'd be great. And also a reminder that we would love to get some feedback on topics for future forums. So if you want to use the chat feature and send in your thoughts there, or else pass along an email to myself. My email was provided in some of the reminder appointments for today's forum. The first question then for Jay and Kristen is regarding what we've seen and heard a lot about in the media with private sector testing of CAV technologies such as Google, Uber, Tesla, et cetera, happening in different parts of the country. And the question is if MnDOT is open or will become an area where this type of testing will occur as well. 3M was mentioned as a possible local company that could get involved in that. So if you guys want to give that a crack.
Yes, we are very open, but we want to make sure that we're doing these things safely and in accordance with our state statutes. And that's one of the challenges we have right now is our laws never contemplated certain types of autonomous vehicles testing on our roadways. So that's one of the things that Kristen's working right now is some of that position paper. And we're also talking about, we have what's called an interagency team where we get together with all the other state agencies, and MnDOT's kind of the lead agency. So we get together with Department of Public Safety and State Patrol and Commerce when it comes to insurance. And we are looking at putting forward some legislation next year to help clarify, make it really clear to the industry about that we are open for testing of these vehicles in a safe and efficient manner. So yes, we are. Vehicles are actually out operating on our roadways right now. We just learned from the State Patrol about a week or so ago that they pulled over a vehicle. Somebody was in the driver's seat and was not wheel. They were taking notes, and it was a test vehicle from Michigan with one of the automobile manufacturers. It had a dummy VIN number. So the vehicles are actually out on the roadway, and that caused some probably some challenges for the State Patrol on, you know, what do I do with this vehicle? Is it legal or is it not legal? And that's what we really need to clarify for the industry right now. But yes, we are open.
And Eric, the only thing I would add, this is Kristen, from a legal standpoint, many states have taken a position as Jim noted, you know, 23 states now have legislation, many of them stating that which is not prohibited is permitted. That is not necessarily the stance that MnDOT is taking. We believe it's more nuanced because we're partnering with State Patrol and other agencies to ensure that if and when we do allow AV testing on our roadsides, we do have to have some requirements to ensure the utmost safety standards.
Okay, thank you. I'll move on now to a question we received here from the audience attending in person. And I'm thinking of Jim Barbaresso, maybe you'd want to take an initial crack at this, and MnDOT could weigh in as well. And the question is, do you think that features like GM's Super Cruise could be considered good enough by consumers? And as consumers get used to those kind of technologies, that might actually reduce the demand for higher levels of automation, such as level 5? to clarify for the audience, Super Cruise is technology on vehicles that allows it to kind of do some lane keeping and follow the vehicle in front of it, and it's kind of a semi-level of automation.
That's right. It's very much like the Tesla Autopilot, if you've heard of that, but it's intended primarily for highway, freeway use. And so I think, you know, as an interim measure, this is, you know, level two type technology still. But it certainly has the potential to increase safety and I think give the public a glimpse of what is possible, a taste for, and maybe even, increase the appetite for these types of technologies as they use them more. And I think that's really the goal, is to incrementally build up to level three, level four types of automation. And so Super Cruise is one of those incremental steps. GM continues to work on a level four and level five technologies. So that is also happening concurrent with their strategy to implement Super Cruise across a broader lineup of their vehicles. And I think that the whole public engagement, public education effort is really key to this. And I applaud MnDOT for really taking that seriously, because that is key to moving toward Vision Zero and incrementally getting public acceptance of these technologies so that we can move to higher levels of automation and greater safety.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Anyone else want to weigh in on that question? Otherwise, I can move on to the next one.
I think we want to weigh just maybe one piece. We agree with Jim that these are great steps that are occurring and it's going to evolve over time. I think if you asked our citizens with disabilities, those vehicles like the Super Cruises and the Tesla don't go nearly far enough. They want to have that personal freedom and have those level fours and five vehicles. So for some people, that may be good enough, but for a large portion of our population, they want to see it go further.
Yep, good point. I'll move on then to the next question for MnDOT. And the question is, what do you see as outcomes and activities for calendar year 2019?
So we've established a couple different goals in our office, our CAVX office. One, the strategic plan will be wrapping up. Our goal is to get a lot of the framework done by the time the next governor comes on board. And that's going to have a bunch of tasks that will come along with it. We don't know exactly what those tasks are going to be right now, but that will drive a lot of things moving forward. The executive order is also going to probably lay out a lot of policy pieces that we'll need to work on. That report is due in December 1st. So 20-year fiscal or calendar year 19 will be busy with implementing those recommendations from that report. So those are a little bit of an unknown right now, and we'll be wrapping up around the end of this calendar year. But from an office standpoint, we have a few different goals that relate back to this. You know, one of them is giving the public more opportunities to see and touch and feel an automated vehicle. So we're looking for a spot to maybe do something like we did with our automated shuttle and have that public engagement piece, and also looking for an opportunity to have the public learn more about what connected vehicle technology can actually do too. So some kind of public demonstration with connected vehicle technology. We're also very looking forward to getting our 55 corridor up and running. And I think we'll see a lot when we talk about what Kristen talked about earlier, was the Minnesota Cab Challenge. I think we're going to see a lot of innovation spurred there from the industry and a lot of quick results happening in fiscal year 19. So I guess there's a lot of unknowns right now, but we do kind of have those strategies kind of moving forward. And a lot of this really needs to happen with these executive orders and plans coming together. We could work on a million different things right now. We want to be more strategic on what's really going to benefit Minnesota before we just start jumping into different topics.
Okay. Well, we'll cap it off there with the questions and appreciate everyone's input here. A lot of great discussion, and we look forward to future forums that will dive into various aspects of this as well and explore different items. Reminder that we'd like to get input on future topics and the speakers here. We've got Jim, Jay, Kristen, and Jim. Really, thank you for coming out and participating. It's been a great information shared. So, thanks again for your time. Thank you very much.